before she'd go to bed. Oh, let them have a good lie in. Well, let's have some nice fresh air waiting for them when they do come down. These flowers. I'm blessed if there's a square inch left to put anything. I have to let it lie here, miss.
Well, Bertie dear, so now you have a new mistress. Heaven knows it nearly broke my heart to have to part with you.
Oh, what about me, Miss Yu-Yu? How do you suppose I felt after all the happy years I spent with you and Miss Rena?
You must accept it bravely, Berta. It was the only way. George needs you to take care of him. He could never manage without you. You looked after him ever since he was a tiny boy.
Oh, but Miss Yu-Yu, I can't help thinking about Miss Rena lying there all helpless, poor dear, and that new girl. She'll never learn the proper way to handle an invalid.
Oh, I managed to train her. I do most of the work myself, you know. You needn't worry about my poor sister, Bertha, dear.
But Miss Yu-Yu, there's another thing. I'm frightened Madam may not find me suitable.
Nonsense, Bertha. Well, there may be one or two little things to begin with.
She's a real lady. She wants everything just so.
Of course she does. General Gabler's daughter. Think of what she was accustomed to when the General was alive. Do you remember how we used to see her out riding with her father? That long black skirt with a feather in her hat.
Oh, yes, miss. As if I could forget. But Lord, I never dreamed I'd live to see a match between her and Master Georgie.
Never did I. Oh, by the way, Bertha, from now on, you must stop calling him Master Georgie. You must say Dr. Tesman.
Yes. Madam said something about that, too, last night. The moment they'd set foot inside the door. Is it true, then, miss?
Indeed it is. Just fancy, Bertha, some foreigners have made him a doctor. It happened while they were away. I had no idea until he told me when they got off the boat.
Well, I suppose there's no limit to what he won't become. He's that clever. I never thought he'd go in for hospital work, though.
No, he's not that kind of doctor. Oh, in any case, you may soon have to address him by an even grander title.
You don't say. What might that be, miss?
You only knew. Dear God, if only poor Johann could rise out of his grave and see what his little son has grown into. Bertha, why have you done this? Taken all the chintz covers off the furniture?
Madam said I was to. Can't stand chintz covers on chairs, she said.
Surely they're not going to use this room as a parlour.
So I gathered, miss, from what Madam said. He didn't say anything to the doctor.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, George.
Auntie Yu-Yu. Dear Auntie Yu-Yu. Oh. You've come all the way out here and so early, what?
No. Well, I had to make sure you'd settled in comfortably.
Oh, but you can't have had a proper night's sleep.
Never mind that.
We were so sorry we couldn't give you a lift, but... Well, you saw how it was. Had it so much luggage, and she insisted on having it all with her.
Yes, I've never seen so much luggage.
Shall I go and ask Madam if there's anything I can lend her a hand with?
Thank you, Berta. No, you needn't bother. She says if she wants you for anything, she'll ring.
Oh, very well.
Oh, Berta, take this bag, will you?
Yes, I'll put it in the attic.
Just fancy, Auntie Yu-Yu, I filled that whole bag with notes from my book. You know, it's really incredible what I've managed to find rooting through those archives. By Jove, wonderful old things. No one even knew existed.
I'm sure you didn't waste a single moment of your honeymoon, George, dear.
No, I think I can truthfully claim that. Oh, but Auntie Yu-Yu, do take your hat off. Here. Let me untie it for you. What?
Oh, dear. Just as if you were still living at home with us.
I say, what a splendid new hat.
Yeah. I bought it for Hedda's sake.
For Hedda's sake? What?
So that Hedda needn't be ashamed of me in case we ever go for a walk together.
Ah, you still think of everything, don't you, Auntie Yu-Yu? Come on, let's sit down here in the sofa. Have a little chat while we wait for Hedda.
Oh, George. It's so wonderful to have you back and to be able to see you with my own eyes again. Poor dear, your Horsham's own son.
Now, what about me? Oh, it's wonderful for me to see you again, Auntie Yu-Yu. You've been a mother to me, and a father, too.
You'll always keep a soft spot in your heart for your old aunties, won't you, George?
I suppose Auntie Rena's no better,
No. I'm afraid she'll never get better, poor dear. She's lying there just as she has for all these years. Oh, please God, I may be allowed to keep her for a little longer. If I lost her, I don't know what I'd do. Especially now that I haven't you to look after.
Oh, there.
Oh, George, fancy you being a married man. And to think it's you who've won Hedda Gabler. Beautiful Hedda Gabler. She was always so surrounded with admirers.
Yes, I suppose there are quite a few people in this town who wouldn't mind being in my shoes, what?
What a honeymoon. 5 months. Nearly 6.
Oh, well, I've done a lot of work, you know. All those archives to go through, and I've had to read lots of books.
Yes, dear, of course. Tell me, George, haven't you any little extra piece of news to give me?
You mean arising out of my honeymoon?
Yes.
No, I don't think there's anything I didn't tell you in my letters. Well, my doctorate, of course. Oh, but I told you about that last night, didn't
I? Yes, I didn't mean that kind of thing. I was just wondering, are you expecting?
Expecting what?
Oh, come on, George, I'm your old aunt.
Well, actually, yes, I am expecting something.
I knew it.
You'll be happy to learn that before very long, I expect to become a professor. I think I may say that the matter's been decided. But aren't you know about this?
Oh, yes, of course, I've forgotten. We were talking about your honeymoon. It must have cost a dreadful amount of money, George.
Oh, well, you know, that big research grant I got helped a good deal.
How on earth did you manage to make it do for two?
Ah, well, to tell the truth, it was a bit tricky,
Especially when one's travelling with a lady. A little bird tells me that makes things much more expensive.
Ah, well, yes, of course, it does make things a little more expensive, but Hedda has to do things in style, Auntie Yu-Yu. I mean, she has to. Anything less grand wouldn't have suited her.
No, I suppose not. The honeymoon abroad seems to be the vogue nowadays. Well, tell me, have you had time to look around the house?
I have. I've been up since the crack of dawn.
What do you think of it?
Splendid. Absolutely splendid. I'm only wondering, what were we going to do with those two empty rooms between that little one and Hedda's bedroom?
Oh, George, dear. I'm sure you'll manage to find some use for them in time.
Oh, yes, of course, Auntie Yu-Yu. How stupid of me. You're thinking of my books.
Oh, yes, dear boy. I was thinking of your books.
You know, I'm so happy for Hedda's sake that we've managed to get this house. Before we became engaged, she often used to say this was the only house in town she felt she could really bear to live in. It used to belong to Mrs. Falk, you know, Prime Minister's widow.
Fancy that. What a stroke of luck. It happened to come into the market just as you left on your honeymoon.
Oh, yes, Auntie, we've certainly had all the luck with us, eh?
But George, dear, the expense. It's going to make a dreadful hole in your pocket, all this.
Oh, yes, I suppose it will, won't it?
George, really?
How much do you think it'll cost? Roughly, I mean, what?
I couldn't possibly say till I see the bills.
Oh, well, luckily Judge Brax managed to get it on very favourable terms. He wrote and told Hedda so.
Don't you worry, George, dear. Anyway, I've stood security for all the furniture and carpets.
Security? But, dear sweet Auntie Yu-Yu, how could you possibly stand security?
I've arranged a mortgage on our annuity.
What? On your annuity? And Auntie Rena's?
Well, I couldn't think of any other
way. But, Auntie, have you gone completely out of your mind? That annuity is all you and Auntie Rena have.
Oh, right, George, there's no need to get so excited about it. It's a pure formality, you know. Judge Brack told me so. He was so kind as to arrange it all for me. A pure formality. And those were his very words.
Yes, I dare say, all the same.
Anyway, you'll have a salary of your own now. Good heavens. Even if we did have to economize a little, we'd be happy to do it for your sake.
No, Auntie Yu-Yu. Will you never stop sacrificing yourself for me?
Now, what else have I to live for but to smooth your road a little? My dear boy, you've never had any mother or father to turn to. Well, now, at last, we've achieved our goal. Well, want to know. We had our little difficulties now and then. But now, thank the good Lord, George, dear, all your worries are past.
Yes, it's wonderful, really, how everything's gone just right for them.
Yes, and the enemies who tried to buy your way have been struck down. The man who was your most dangerous rival has had the mightiest fall. Now he's lying there in the pit he dug for himself, poor misguided creature.
Have you had any news of Eilert since I went away?
Oh, only that he's said to have published a new book.
What? Eilert Lovborn? What, do you mean just recently? Hmm?
So they say. I don't imagine it can be of any value, do you? When your new book comes out, that'll be another story. What's it going to be about?
The domestic industries of Brabant in the Middle Ages.
Things you know about.
Mind you, it may be some time before I actually get down to writing it. I've made these very extensive notes. I've got to file and index them first.
Mm, yes, making notes, filing, indexing. You've always been wonderful at that. Oh, poor dear Joachim was just the same.
I'm looking forward so much to getting down to that, especially now I have my own home to work in.
And above all, now that you have the girl you've set your heart on, George.
Oh, yes, Auntie, you, yes. Edda's the loveliest thing of all. I think I hear her coming. What?
Oh, good morning, Hedda, dear. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Miss Desmond. What an early hour to call. So kind of you.
And has the young bride slept well in her new home?
Oh, thank you, yes. Possibly well.
Possibly, I say, Hedda, that's good. When I jumped out of bed, you were sleeping like a top.
Yes, fortunately. One has to accustom oneself to anything new, Miss Tesman. It takes time. Mm. Oh, if maid's let the French windows open again, this room's flooded with sun.
Oh, let me close them.
No, don't do that. Tesman, dear, draw the curtains. This light's blinding.
Yes, dear. There, Hedda. I've got shade and fresh air.
This room needs fresh air. All these flowers. But, my dear Miss Tesman, won't you take a seat?
No, not really, thank you. I just wanted to make sure you have everything you need. I must see about getting back home. My poor dear sister will be waiting for me.
Be sure to give her my love, won't you? Tell her I'll run over and see her later today.
Yes, I'll tell her that. Oh, George, I almost forgot. I brought something for you.
What's that, Auntie Yu? You want?
Open it and see, dear boy.
Oh, good heavens. Auntie, you've kept them. I heard that this is really very touching, what?
What is it, Tesman?
My old shoes. My slippers, Hedda.
Oh, them. Yes, I remember you kept talking about them on the honeymoon.
Yes, I missed them dreadfully. Here, Hedda, take a look.
Thanks, I won't bother.
Fancy, Hedda. Auntie Rena's embroidered them for me, despite her being so ill. Oh, you can't imagine what memories they have for me.
Not for me.
Oh, Hedda's right there, George.
Oh, yes, but I thought since she's one of the family,
yes,
no?
Well, we really can't go out and keeping this maid.
Not keep Bertha?
Well, what makes you say that, dear?
What about that? She left her own hat lying on the chair.
Oh, but Hedda...
Suppose someone came in and saw it.
Oh, but Hedda, that's Auntie Yu's hat.
Oh?
Yes, and it's mine. It doesn't happen to be old, Hedda, dear.
I didn't look at it very closely, Miss Tesman.
As a matter of fact, it's the first time I've worn it, as the good Lord is my witness.
It's very pretty, too. It's really smart.
Oh, I'm afraid it's nothing much, really. My parasol. Oh, here it is. This is mine, too. Not Bertha's.
A new hat and a new parasol. I say, Hedda, fancy that.
Very pretty.
Yes. Yes, isn't it? But aren't you? You take a good look at Hedda before you go. Isn't she pretty and charming?
Dear boy, there's nothing new in that. Hedda's been a beauty ever since the day she was born.
Yes, but have you noticed how strong and healthy she's looking? Hmm? How she's filled out since we went away?
Oh, can't we forget?
Oh.
Filled up? Yes, Auntie Yu. You can't see it so clearly without dress on, but I've good reason
to
know.
You have a good reason to know anything.
It must have been the mountain air.
I'm exactly the same as I was when I went to...
Keep on saying so, but you're not. I'm right, aren't I, Auntie Yu?
Hedda is beautiful. Beautiful. God bless and keep you, Hedda Tidman. For George's sake.
Oh, let me go, please.
I'll come and see you both every day.
Oh, yes, Auntie Yu-Yu. Please do, huh?
Goodbye. Goodbye, George.
Goodbye. Are you ready to show me?
Yes.
Oh. And then I... Bye. What are you looking at, Hedda?
Only the leaves. They're so golden and withered.
Oh, well. We're in September now.
Yes. We're already into September.
Auntie Yu-Yu was behaving rather oddly, I thought, didn't you? Almost as though she was in church or something. I wonder what came over her. Any idea?
Well, I hardly know her. Does she often act like that?
Well, not to the extent she did today.
Oh, do you think she was hurt by what I said about the hat?
Oh, I don't think so. Well, a little at first.
Well, what a thing to do, to throw a hat down in someone's drawing room. People don't do such things.
I'm sure Auntie Yu-Yu doesn't do it very often.
Oh, well, I'll make it up.
Oh, Hedda, would you?
When you see them this afternoon, invite her to come out here this evening.
Indeed, I will. I say, there's another thing which would please her enormously.
Oh?
If you could bring yourself to call her Auntie Yu-Yu.
Oh.
Oh, for my sake, Hedda.
Oh, really, Tasman, you mustn't ask me to do that. I've told you so once before. I'll try to call her Aunt Juliana, but that's as far as I'll go.
I say, Hedda, anything wrong, huh?
Just looking at my old piano. Doesn't really go with all this.
As soon as I start getting my salary, we'll see about changing
it. No, let's change it. I don't want to part with it. We can move it into that little room and get another one to put in here.
Oh, yes. Yes, we might do that.
These flowers weren't here when we came last night.
I expect Auntie Yu-Yu brought them.
Oh, here's a card. We'll come back later today. Guess who it's from?
No idea. Who?
It says Mrs. Elmstead.
No, really? Oh, Mrs. Elmstead. She used to be Miss Rising, didn't she?
Yes. She was the one with that irritating hair she was always showing off. I hear she used to be an old flame of yours.
That didn't last long. Anyway, that was before I got to know you, Hedda. Why do you fancy her being in town?
Strange she should call. I only knew her at school.
Yes, I haven't seen her for... Oh, heaven knows how long. Do you know how she manages to stick it out up there in the north, huh?
Tell me, Tasman. Doesn't he live up somewhere in those parts?
Hmm?
No, Isle of Loveborg.
Oh, yes, that's right. So he does.
She's here again, madam.
What?
The lady who came and left the flowers. The ones you're holding.
Who is she? I'll show her in. Mrs. Elmstead, good morning. How delightful to see you again after all this time.
Yes, it's many years since we met.
And since we met, huh?
Thank you for your lovely flowers.
Oh, please. I wanted to come yesterday afternoon, but they told me you were away.
You've only just arrived in town, then, what?
I got here yesterday, around midday. I became almost desperate when I heard you weren't here.
Desperate? Why?
My dear Mrs. Rising, Elmstead.
Well, there's nothing wrong, I hope.
Yes, there is. I don't know anyone else here whom I can turn to.
Come and sit with me on the sofa.
I feel too restless to sit down.
Now. Come along.
Well, tell us, Mrs.
Has something happened at home?
Yes. Oh, that is yes and no. Oh, I do hope you won't misunderstand me.
Well, then you better tell us the whole story, Mrs. Elves.
Well, that's why you've come, what?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, in case you don't already know, Islet Loveborg is in town.
Loveborg, yes.
Islet, back in town? Fancy, Hedda, did you hear that?
Yes, of course I heard.
He's been here a week. A whole week in this city. Alone. all those dreadful people.
But, my dear Mrs. Elmston, what concern is he of yours?
Oh, he's been tutoring the children.
Your children?
My husband's. I have none.
Oh, you mean your stepchildren?
Yes.
But was he sufficiently, don't know how to put it, sufficiently regular in his habits to be suited to such a post, what?
For the past 2 or 3 years, he's been living irreproachably.
You don't say. By Jove, had I hear that.
I hear. Quite irreproachably, I assure you, in every respect. All the same, in this big city with money in his pockets. I'm so dreadfully frightened something may happen to him.
But why didn't you stay up there with you and your husband?
Well, once his book had come out, he became restless.
Oh, yes, Auntie, you'd said he'd brought out a new book.
Yes, a big new book about the history of civilization. A kind of general survey. It came out about a fortnight ago. Everyone's been buying it and reading it. It's created a tremendous stir.
Has it really? It must be something he's dug up, then.
You mean from the old days?
Yes.
Oh, no. He's written it all since he came to live with us.
Oh, that's splendid news, Hedda. Fancy that.
Oh, yes. If only he can go on like this.
Have you met him since you came here?
No, not yet. I had such dreadful difficulty finding his address. But this morning I managed to track it down.
I must say, I find it a little strange that your husband should...
Your husband? Well, what do you mean?
Well, that he should send you all the way here on an errand of this kind. I'm surprised he didn't come himself to keep an eye on his friend.
No. No, my husband hasn't the time. Well, besides, I wanted to do some shopping here.
Ah, well, that's different.
Please, Mr. Tesman, I beg you, be kind to our little Ed Bork if he comes here. I'm sure he will. I mean, you used to be such good friends in the old days. You're both studying the same subject, as far as I can understand. You are in the same field, aren't you?
No, we used to be, anyway.
Yes. So I beg you earnestly. Oh, do please, please keep an eye on me. Oh, Mr. Tesman, do promise me you will.
I shall be only too happy to do so, Mrs. Ryson.
Elmston.
I'll do everything for Islet that lies in my power. You can rely on that.
Oh, how good and kind you are. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Look, my husband's so fond of him, you see.
You'd better send him a note, Tesman.
Mm-hmm.
We may not come to you of his own accord.
Yes, that probably would be the best plan, Hedda. Well,
the sooner the better. Why not do it now?
Oh, yes. If only you would.
I'll do it this very moment. Oh, do you have his address, Mrs.
Yes,
Elmston?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, I'll go inside and... Oh, where are my slippers? Here.
Now try to sound friendly. Make it a nice long letter.
Right, I will.
Oh, please don't say anything about my having seen you.
Oh, good heavens, no. Of course not. What?
Well, now we've killed two birds with one stone.
What do you mean?
But didn't you realize I wanted to get him out of the room?
So that he could write the letter.
And so that I could talk to you alone.
About this?
Yes, about this.
But there's nothing more to tell, Mrs. Tesman, really, there isn't.
Yes, there is. There's a lot more, I can see that. Come on, let's sit down and have a little chat.
Well, really, Mrs. Tesman, I think I ought to be going.
There's no hurry. Well, how are things at home?
I'd rather not speak about that.
Oh, my dear, you can tell me. Good heavens, we were at school together.
Yes, but you were a year senior to me. I used to be terribly frightened of you in those days.
Frightened of me?
Oh, yes, terribly frightened. Whenever you met me on the staircase, you used to pull my hair.
Oh, no, did I?
Yes. And once you said you'd burn it all off.
Oh, that was only in fun.
Yes. But I was so silly in those days. And then afterwards, we drifted so far apart. Our backgrounds were so different.
Well, now we must try to drift together again. Now, listen. When we were at school, we used to call each other by our Christian names.
No. Oh, I'm sure you're mistaken.
Well, I'm sure I'm not. I remember it quite clearly. Well, let's tell each other our secrets as we used to in the old days. There now. Now, you must call me Hedda.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm not used to people being so nice to me.
No, no, no. And I shall call you Tora the way I used to.
My name is Taya.
Oh, yes, of course. I meant Taya. So you're not used to kindness, Taya. In your own home.
Oh, if only I had a home. But I haven't. I've never had one.
I thought that was it.
Yes. Yes.
I can't remember exactly. Didn't you first go to Mr. Elveston as a housekeeper?
Governess, actually. But his wife, at the time, I mean, she was an invalid and had to spend most of her time in bed. So I had to look after the house, too.
But in the end, you became mistress of the house.
Yes, I did.
Let me see, roughly, how long ago was that?
When I got married, you mean?
Yes.
About 5 years.
Yes, must be about that.
Oh, those 5 years. Especially the last two or three. Oh, Mrs. Tesman, if you only knew...
Mrs. Tesman? Oh, Taylor.
Oh, sorry. I'll try to remember. If you had any idea...
Our little Loveborg's been up there too, hasn't he, for about 3 years.
Our little Loveborg? Yes, he has.
Did you know him before, when you were here?
No, not really. Well, that is, I knew him by name, of course, but...
But up there, he used to visit you.
Yes. He used to come and see us every day. To give the children lessons. I found I couldn't do that as well as manage the house.
Oh, sure you couldn't. And your husband, I suppose, being a magistrate, he has to be away from home a good deal.
Yes. Well, you see, Mrs... You see, Hedda, he has to cover the whole district. It...
Oh, poor, pretty little Taya. Now, you must tell me the whole story, from beginning to end.
Well, what do you want to know?
What kind of a man is your husband, dear? I mean, as a person. Is he kind to you?
I'm sure he does his best to be.
I only wonder if he isn't too old for you. Well, there's more than 20 years between you, isn't there?
Yes, there's that too. Oh, there are so many things. We're different in every way. We've nothing in common. Nothing whatever.
But he loves you, surely. In his own way.
I don't know. I think he just finds me useful. And then I don't cost much on cheap.
Oh, now you're being stupid.
Well, it can't be any different with him. He doesn't love anyone except himself. And perhaps the children, a little.
He must be fond of Islet Loveborg, Ted.
Islet Loveborg? What makes you think that?
What if he sends you all the way down here to look for him? Besides, you said so yourself to Tesman.
Did I? Oh, yes, I suppose I did. Well, I might as well tell you the whole story. It's bound to come out sooner or later.
Oh, my dear dear.
My husband had no idea I was coming here.
Well, your husband doesn't know?
No, of course not. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even there. He was away at the assizes. Oh, I couldn't stand it any longer, Hedda. I just couldn't. I'd be so dreadfully lonely up there now.
Go on.
So I packed a few things, secretly, and went.
Without telling anyone?
Yes. I caught the train and came straight here.
Oh, my dear dear. How brave of you.
Well, what else could I do?
Well, what do you suppose your husband will say when you get back?
Back there? To him?
Yes. Surely.
I shall never go back to him.
You mean you've left your home for good?
Yes. I didn't see what else I could do.
But to do it so openly.
Oh, it's no use trying to keep a thing like that secret.
Well, what do you suppose people will say?
They can say what they like. I had to do it.
What do you intend to do now? How are you going to live?
I don't know. I only know that I must live wherever I let Loveborg is, if I am to go on living.
Tell me, Taya, how did this friendship between you and Islet Loveborg begin?
Oh, well, it came about gradually. developed a kind of power over him.
Oh?
He gave up his old habits. Not because I asked him to. I'd never have dared to do that. I suppose he just noticed that I didn't like that kind of thing. So he gave it up.
So you've made a new man of him. Clever little dare.
Yes. Anyway, he says I have. And he's made a sort of real person of me. He's taught me to think and to understand all kinds of things.
Did he give you lessons, too?
Not exactly lessons, but he talked to me about, you've no idea, so many things. And then he let me work with him. It was wonderful. I was so happy to be allowed to help him.
Did he allow you to help him?
Yes. Whenever he wrote anything, we always... Well, we did it together.
Like good chums.
Chums? Oh, yes. Heather, that's exactly the word he used. I ought to feel so happy. But I can't. I don't know if it'll last.
You don't seem very sure, are you?
Something stands between Eilert Loeborg and me. The shadow of another woman.
Who can that be?
I don't know. Someone he used to be friendly with in the old days. Someone he's never been able to forget.
What has he told you about her?
Oh, he only mentioned her once, casually.
Well, what did he say?
He said when he left her, she tried to shoot him with a pistol.
Well, what nonsense. People don't do such things. Not the kind of people we know.
No. I think it must have been that red-haired singer he used to...
Ah, yes, very probably.
I remember they used to say she always carried a loaded pistol.
Well, then, it must be her.
But, Hedda, I hear she's come back. She's living here. I'm so desperate.
Shh. Desmond's coming.
Dear, we mustn't breathe a word about this to anyone.
No. Oh, no, please don't.
Well, here's my little epistle, all signed and sealed.
Oh, good. I think Mrs. Elmstead wants to go now.
Yes.
Wait a moment, and I'll see you as far as the garden gate.
But Hedda, do you think Bertha could deal with this?
I'll give her instructions.
Judge Brett is here, and asks if he may pay his respects to Madam and the doctor.
Yes, ask him to be so good as to come in. Wait a moment. Drop this letter in the postbox.
Very good, Madam.
My dear Judge, may one presume also early?
One may presume.
You're welcome here any time. Judge Brett... Mrs. Ricer. Chopped.
What fun to be able to see you by daylight for once, John.
Do I look different?
Yes. A little younger, I think.
Oh, obliged. Now, what do you think of Hedda? What? Doesn't she look well? Hasn't she filled...
Oh, do stop it. You ought to be thanking Judge Brack for all the inconvenience he's put himself to.
Oh, nonsense. It was a pleasure.
You're a loyal friend. But my other friend is pining to get away. Au revoir, Judge.
Au revoir. Goodbye. Well... Is your wife satisfied with everything?
Yes, we can't thank you enough. Well, that is, we may have to shift one or two things around, she tells me, and short of one or two little items we'll have to purchase.
Oh?
Ah, but you mustn't worry your head about that. Hedda says she'll get what's needed. I say, why don't we sit down, huh?
Thanks, just for a moment. There's something I'd like to talk to you about, my dear Tasman.
Oh? Ah, yes, of course. After the feast comes the reckoning.
Oh, never mind about the financial side. There's no hurry about that. Though I could wish we'd arranged things a little less palatially.
Oh, good heavens, that would never have done. Well, think of Hedda, my dear chap. You know her. I couldn't possibly ask her to live like a petty bourgeois.
No. That's just the problem.
Anyway, can't be long now before my nomination comes through.
Well, you know, these things often take time.
Have you heard any more news? What?
Nothing definite. Oh, by the way, I've one piece of news for you.
Oh, what?
Your old friend Eilert Loeborg is back in town.
I know that already.
Oh, how did you hear that?
Well, she told me. The lady who just went out with Hedda.
Oh, I see. What was her name? I didn't catch it.
Mrs. Elvsted.
Oh, is that the magistrate's wife?
Hmm.
Yes. Loeborg's been living up near them, hasn't he?
Yes, he has indeed. I'm delighted to hear. He's become a decent human being.
So they say.
I gather he's published a new book, too, huh?
Indeed he has.
I hear it's created rather a stir.
Quite an unusual stir.
I say. Isn't that splendid news?
Hmm?
He's such a gifted chap. I was afraid he'd gone to the dogs for good.
Yes, most people thought he had.
But I can't think what he'll do now, I mean, how on earth will he manage to make ends meet, what?
Esmond is always worrying about making ends meet.
Oh, we were talking about poor Arnold Lovborg.
Oh, were you? Is he in trouble?
Well, he must have run through his inheritance long ago by now. And he can't write a new book every year, what? So I'm wondering what's going to become of him.
I may be able to enlighten you there.
Oh?
You mustn't forget he has relatives who wield a good deal of influence.
Relatives? Oh, they've quite washed their hands of him, I'm afraid.
They used to regard him as the hope of the family.
Used to, yes. But he's put an end to that.
Who knows? I hear the Elfsteds have made a new man of him.
And then this book he's just published.
Well, let's hope they find something for him. I've just written him a note. Oh, by the way, Hedda, I asked him to come over and see us this evening.
But my dear chap, you're coming to me this evening.
Huh?
My bachelor party.
Oh.
You promised me last night when I met you at the boat.
Had you forgotten, Esmond?
Good heavens, yes. I'd quite forgotten.
Anyway, you can be quite sure he won't turn up here.
Well, why do you think that,
My dear Tesmond, and you too, Mrs. Tesmond, there's something I feel you ought to know.
Concerning Arnold?
Concerning him and you.
Well, my dear Judge, tell us, please.
You must be prepared for your nomination not to come through quite as quickly as you hope and expect.
Is anything wrong?
There's a possibility that the appointment may be decided by competition.
Competition? By Jove, Hedda, fancy that.
Oh, how interesting.
But who else? I say, you don't mean...
Exactly. By competition with Eilert Lovborg.
Oh, no. Oh, no, but this is inconceivable. It's absolutely impossible, what?
We may find it'll happen all the same.
Well, no, but... Oh, Judge Beck, that would be so inconsiderate towards me. I mean, by Jove, I'm a married man. It was on the strength of this that Hedda and I got married. We ran up some pretty hefty debts and borrowed money from Auntie Yu-Yu. I mean, good heavens, they practically promised me the appointment.
Well, I'm sure you'll get it, but you'll have to go through a competition.
How exciting, Desmond. It'll be a kind of duel, by Jove.
Oh, my dear Hedda, how can you take it so lightly?
I'm not. I can't wait to see who's going to win.
In any case, Mrs. Tesmond, it's best you should know how things stand. I mean, before you commit yourself to these little items, I hear you're threatening to purchase.
I can't allow this to alter my plans.
Indeed? No, that's your business. Goodbye. I'll come and collect you on the way home from my afternoon walk.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. I'm all upside down just now.
Goodbye, Judge. See you this afternoon.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You will excuse me, won't you?
Of course.
Oh, Hedda. One oughtn't to go plunging off on wild adventures, what?
Like you're doing.
Yes. I mean, there's no denying it was a pretty big adventure to go off and get married and set up house merely on expectation.
Perhaps you're right.
Well, anyway, we have our home, Hedda. By Jove, it's the home we dreamed of. And set our hearts on, what?
You agreed that we should enter society and keep open house. That was the bargain.
Yes. Well, good heavens, I was looking forward to it all so much. To see you play hostess to a select circle. Mm-hmm. Well, for the time being, we shall just have to make do with each other's company, Hedda. Perhaps, and onto you in now and then. Oh, dear. This wasn't at all what you had in mind.
I won't be able to have a liveried footman for a start.
Oh, no. Well, we couldn't possibly afford a footman.
And the bay mare you promised me?
Bay mare?
Well, I mustn't even think of that now.
Well, heaven forbid.
Well, I still have one thing left to amuse myself with.
Well, thank goodness for that. What's that, Hedda, what?
My pistols, George, darling.
Pistols?
General Gardner's pistols.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Hedda, don't touch those things. They're dangerous. Now, Hedda, please, for my sake.
This will teach you to enter houses by the back door.
Have you gone completely out of your mind?
Oh, dear. Did I hit you?
Stop playing those silly tricks.
All right, Dutch. Come along in.
For God's sake, haven't you stopped fooling around with those things yet? What are you trying to hit?
Oh, I was just shooting at the sky. Now,
by your leave, ma'am. Ah, yes, I know this old friend well. Where's the case? Ah, yes. Now, that's enough of that little game for today.
Well, what on earth am I to do?
You haven't had any visitors?
Not one. I suppose the best people are all still in the country.
Your husband isn't home yet?
No. The moment he'd finished eating, he ran off to his auntie's. He wasn't expecting you so early.
Oh, why didn't I think of that? How stupid of me.
Why stupid?
Oh, I'd have come a little sooner.
There'd have been no one to receive you. I've been in my room since lunch, dressing.
You haven't a tiny crack in the door through which we might have negotiated.
You forgot to arrange one.
Oh, another stupidity.
Well, we'll have to sit down here and wait. Desmond won't be back for some time.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll be patient.
Well?
Well?
I asked first.
Yeah. Well, now we can enjoy a nice, cozy little chat, Mrs. Heather.
It seems ages since we had a talk. I don't count last night or this morning.
You mean our dirt?
Yes, that's roughly what I meant.
I've been longing so much for you to come home.
So have I.
You, really, Mrs. Heather? And I thought you were having such a wonderful honeymoon.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
But your husband wrote such ecstatic letters.
He? Oh, yes. He thinks life is nothing better to offer than rooting around in libraries and copying old pieces of parchment or whatever it is he does.
Well, that is his life. Most of it, anyway.
Yes, I know. Well, it's all right for him. But for me? Oh, no, my dear Judge, I've been bored to death.
Do you mean that? Seriously?
Yes. Can you imagine? 6 whole months without ever meeting a single person who was one of us, to whom I could talk about the kind of things we talk about.
Yes, I can understand. I'd miss that too.
Well, that wasn't the worst, though.
What was?
Having to spend every minute of one's life with the same person.
Yes, what a thought. Morning, noon.
As I said, every minute of one's life.
I stand corrected. But, dear Tesman, is it a clever fellow? I should have thought one ought to be able to...
Tesman is only interested in one thing, my dear Judge. His special subject.
Yeah, true.
The people who are only interested in one thing don't make the most amusing company. Well, not for long, anyway.
Not even when they happen to be the person one loves.
Oh, don't use that sickly, stupid word.
But Mrs. Heather.
Just try it, Judge. Listening to the history of civilization, morning, noon, and...
Every minute of one's life.
All right. The domestic industries of Brabant in the Middle Ages. That really is beyond the limit.
Yes, but tell me, if you feel like this, why on earth did you...
Why on earth did I marry George Tesman?
If you like to put it that way.
Do you think it's so very strange?
Yes and no, Mrs. Heather.
I danced myself tired, Judge. I felt my time was up. No, I mustn't say that, or even think it.
You've no rational cause to think it.
Oh, course. But after all, George Tesman... I mean, he's a very respectable man.
Well, no, very respectable, sound as a rock, no denying it.
There's nothing exactly ridiculous about him, is there?
Ridiculous? No, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. He's very clever at collecting material and all that, isn't he? I mean, he may go quite far in time.
But I thought you believed, like everyone else, that he would become a very prominent man.
Yes, I did. And when he came and begged me on his bended knees to be allowed to love and to cherish me, I didn't see why I shouldn't let him.
No, well, if one looks at it like that...
It was more than my other admirers were prepared to do, Judge.
Well, I can't answer for the others. As far as I myself am concerned, you know, I've always had a considerable respect for the institution of marriage. As an institution.
Oh, I've never entertained any hopes of you.
All I want is to have a circle of friends whom I can trust, whom I can help with advice or any other means, and into whose houses I may come and go as a trusted friend.
Of the husband.
Preferably, to be frank, of the wife. And of the husband, too, of course. Yes, you know, this kind of triangle is a delightful arrangement for all parties concerned.
Yes. I often longed for a third person while I was away. Oh, those hours we spent alone in railway compartments.
Fortunately, your honeymoon is now over.
There's a long, long way still to go. I've only reached a stop on the line.
Why not jump out and stretch your legs a little, Mrs. Heddo?
I'm not the jumping sort.
Aren't you?
No. There's always someone around who
looks at one's legs, hmm?
Yes, exactly.
Well, but surely...
I don't like it. I'd rather stay where I am. Sitting in the compartment. I do.
But suppose a third person were to step into the compartment.
That might be different.
A trusted friend. Someone who understood.
And was lively and amused.
And interested in more subjects than one.
Yes, that'd be a relief.
Ah. The triangle is completed.
And the train goes on.
Phew. Too hot to be lugging all this around. I'm positively sweating, Hedda. Oh, hello, hello. You're here already. Time's party. Beata didn't tell me.
I came in through the garden.
What are all those books you've got there?
Oh, some new publications dealing with my special subject. I had to buy them.
Your special subject?
Yes, special subject, Mrs. Tesmond.
Haven't you collected enough material on your special subject?
Oh, my dear Hedda, one can never have too much. One must keep abreast of what other people are writing.
Yes, of course.
Well, look, I bought a copy of Eilert Loewbald's new book, too. Oh, perhaps you'd like to have a look at it, Hedda, what?
No, thank you. No, well, perhaps I will later.
I'll glance through it on my way home.
What's your opinion as a specialist on the subject?
I'm amazed how sound and balanced it seems. He never used to write like that.
Oh.
Well, I must get down to these at once. I can hardly wait to cut the pages. Oh, I've got to change, too. We don't have to be off just yet, do we?
No, heavens, no. We've plenty of time yet.
Oh, good. I needn't hurry then. Oh, by the way, Hedda... Auntie Yu-Yu won't be coming to see you this evening.
Won't she? Oh, the hat, I suppose.
Oh, good heavens, no, no. How could you think such a thing of Auntie Yu-Yu? No fancy. Auntie Rena's very ill.
She always is.
Ah, but today she's been taken really bad.
Well, then it's quite understandable that the other one should want to stay with her. Well, I shall have to swallow my disappointment.
Hmm. You can't imagine how happy Auntie Yu-Yu was in spite of everything. Oh. But you're looking so well after the honeymoon.
He's everlasting, Aunt.
What?
Nothing.
Oh. All right.
What was that about the hat?
Oh, something that happened with Miss Desmond this morning. Well, she'd put her hat down on a chair, and I pretended to think it was the servants.
My dear Mrs. Hedda, how could you do such a thing to that poor old lady?
Well, sometimes a mood like that hits me and I can't stop myself. Oh, I don't know how to explain it.
You're not really happy. That's the answer.
Why on earth should I be happy? Can you give me a reason?
Yes. For one thing, you've got the home you always wanted.
You really believe that story?
You mean it isn't true?
No, yes, it's partly true.
Huh?
It's true I got Desmond to see me home from parties last summer.
It was a pity my home lay in another direction.
Yes, your interests lay in another direction, too.
That's naughty of you, Mrs. Edda. But come back to you and George.
Well, we walked past this house one evening. And poor Tesman was fidgeting in his boots, trying to find something to talk about. I felt sorry for the great scholar.
Really, really, did you?
Yes. Honestly, I did. Well, to help him out of his misery, I happened to say quite frivolously how much I'd love to live in this house.
Is that all?
That evening, yes.
But afterwards?
Yes.
My little frivolity had its consequences, my dear child.
Yes, our little frivolities do, much too often, unfortunately.
Thank you. Well, it was our mutual admiration for the Prime Minister's house that brought George Tesman and me together on common ground. So we got engaged, and we got married, and we went on our honeymoon. Then, oh, well, Judge, I've made my bed, and I must lie in it. I was about to sleep.
Oh, utterly fantastic. And you didn't really care in the least about the house?
God knows I didn't.
Yes, but now that we've furnished it so beautifully for you.
All the rooms smell of lavender and dried roses. But perhaps Auntie Yu-Yu brought that in.
It's more likely the Prime Minister's widow, rest her soul.
Yes. It's got the odour of death about it. It reminds me of the flowers one has worn at a ball the morning after. Oh, my dear Judge. You've no idea how hideously bored I'm going to be out here.
Couldn't you find some occupation, Mrs. Hedder, like your husband?
Occupation? That it interests me?
Well, preferably.
God knows what. I've often thought.
Yeah?
No, that wouldn't work either.
Well, who knows? Tell me about it.
I was thinking, if I could persuade Tesman to go into politics, for example.
Tesman? No, honestly, I don't think he's quite cut out to be a politician.
Well, perhaps not. But if I could persuade him to have a go at it.
What satisfaction would that give you if he turned out to be no good? Why do you want to make him do that?
Because I'm bored. You feel there's absolutely no possibility of Tesman becoming Prime Minister, then?
Well, you know, Mrs. Hedder, for one thing, he'd have to be pretty well off before he could become that.
Ah, there you are. It's this wretched poverty that makes life so hateful and ludicrous.
Oh, yeah,
well,
I don't think that's the real cause.
What is, then?
Nothing really exciting has ever happened to you.
Nothing serious, you mean?
Well, call it that if you like. But now perhaps it may.
Huh? Oh, you're thinking of this competition for that wretched professorship. Well, that's Tesman's affair. I'm not going to waste my time worrying about that.
Well, let's forget about that, then. But suppose you were to find yourself faced with what people call, to use the conventional phrase, the most solemn of human responsibilities. A new responsibility, little Mrs. Hedder.
Be quiet. Nothing like that's going to happen.
We'll talk about it again in a year's time, if not earlier.
I have no leanings in that direction, Judge. I don't want any responsibilities.
But surely you must feel some inclination to make use of that natural talent which every woman...
Oh, be quiet, I say. I often think there's only one thing for which I have any natural talent.
And what is that, if I may be so bold as to ask?
For boring myself to death. Talking of boring, here comes the professor.
Shh, no, Mrs. Hedder.
Hedder, hasn't any message come from Eilert, huh?
No.
Oh. Well, then we'll have him here presently. You wait and see.
You really think he'll come?
Yes, I'm almost sure. What you were saying about him this morning is just gossip.
Oh?
Yes, Auntie, you said she didn't believe he'd ever dare to stand in my way again. Fancy that.
Oh, then everything in the garden's lovely. Yes.
Oh, but you really must let me wait for him as long as possible.
Oh, we've plenty of time. No one will be turning up at my place before 7:30.
Ah. Well, then we can keep Hedder company a little longer and see if he turns up, right?
And if the worst comes to the worst, Mr. Lovborg can sit here and talk to me.
What do you mean by if the worst comes to the worst?
If he doesn't want to go with you and Tesman.
Well, I say, Hedda, do you think it would be all right for him to stay here with you? Huh? Remember, Auntie Yu-Yu isn't coming.
Yes, but Mrs. Elbster did. The three of us can have a cup of tea together.
Ah, well, that'll be all right. Yes, it's probably the safest solution as far as he's concerned.
Why?
My dear Mrs. Tesman, you always say at my little bachelor parties that they should only be attended by men of the strongest principles.
Well, Mr. Lovborg is a man of principle now. You know what they say about a reformed sinner. Madam, there's a gentleman here who wants to see you. Ask him to come in.
I'm sure it's him. By Jove, fancy that.
My dear Eilert, how grand to see you again after all these years.
It was good of you to write, George. May I shake hands with you too, Mrs. Tesla?
Delighted to see you, Mr. Mouthford. I don't know if you two gentlemen...
Judge Brack, I believe.
Correct. We met some years ago.
Now, you're to treat this house just as though it were your own home, Eilert. Isn't that right, Hedda?
Of course.
I hear you've decided to settle here again, huh?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Quite understandable. Oh, by the by, I've just bought your new book. Though, to tell the truth, I haven't had time to read it yet.
You needn't bother.
Oh? Well, why?
There's nothing much in it.
Well, by Jove, fancy hearing that from you.
But everyone's praising it.
Well, that was exactly what I wanted to happen. So I only wrote what I knew everyone would agree with.
Very sensible.
Yes, but my dear Eilert...
I want to try to re-establish myself. To begin again.
Oh, yes, I suppose you do, eh?
But when this gets published, George Tesman, read it. This is my real book, the one in which I've spoken with my own voice.
Oh, really? Well, what's it about?
It's a sequel.
Sequel? What to what?
To the other book.
The one that's just come out?
Yes.
Oh, my dear, I know that covers the subject right up to the present day.
It does, but this is about the future.
The future? Oh, but I say, we don't know anything about that.
No, but there are one or two things that need to be said about it. Here, have a look.
Oh, sorry, what's that your handwriting?
I dictated it.
Oh.
It's in two parts. The first deals with the forces that will shape our civilization, and the second indicates the direction in which that civilization may develop.
Amazing. I'd never think of writing about anything like that.
No, you wouldn't.
I brought it because I thought I might possibly read you a few pages this evening.
Oh, I say, what a kind idea, but this evening, I'm not quite sure whether...
Well, some other time, then. There's no hurry.
The truth is, Mr. Lovebrook, I'm giving a little dinner this evening, in Tesman's honour, you know.
Oh, then I must...
No, wait a minute. Won't you do me the honour of joining us?
No, I can't, thank you so much.
Oh, nonsense! Do, please. There'll only be a few of us, and I can promise you we shall have some good sport, as Mrs. Tesman puts it.
I've no doubt, nevertheless.
Now, you could bring your manuscript along and read it to Tesman at my place. I'll lend you a room.
Oh, by Jove, yes, that's an idea. What?
But Tesman, Mr. Lovebrook doesn't want to go. I'm sure Mr. Lovebrook would much rather sit here and have supper with me.
With you, Mrs. Tesman?
And Mrs. Elveston.
Oh, I ran into her this afternoon.
Did you? Well, she's coming here this evening. So you really must stay, Mr. Lovebrook, otherwise she'll have no one to see her.
That's true. Well, thank you, Mrs. Tesman. I'll stay then.
I'll just tell the sir.
I say, Eilert, this new subject of yours, the future...